me and for me. Lord God, may the words of our mouth, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't get into the portion where Jesus is rejected in his hometown today in the scripture that we read, obviously, but we don't often very much get to hear from Jesus himself about what this Christ child we prepare our hearts to celebrate might be coming into the world to do. But who better than Jesus than to hear from as we look forward to the message of what the babe of Christmas might mean, could mean, and did mean for us in this world. And certainly the life of Jesus has plenty to tell us about who he is, but in our gospel reading this morning, he's actually using the Old Testament to fill us in on what he planned to be up to in this world. The amazing thing is that as Jesus reads these words in his hometown, he isn't just reading these verses from Isaiah and claiming them for himself, or he's not just reading them and saying, this is what I think the Messiah is going to be about. These verses were already what people had believed the Messiah would be about when he reads them. And in fact, this section from Isaiah is just one of some 300, actually more than 300 different prophecies in the Old Testament that tell us very specifically about things that Jesus would do, not just his character, but actions that he would perform. Isaiah in the Old Testament were written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, in the probability of one person fulfilling all of these prophecies is hard to even figure out. And just to help us have a sense for how hard that might be, for one person to meet all of these things that end up being true in Jesus, there was one group that looked at the probability of just one person at the time of Jesus fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies from the Old Testament. And I don't know how they figured this out. I never quite got this deep in math, but they found out the probability of just 8 of these prophecies in one person fulfilling all of them is 1 to the 10th to the 21st power. So yeah, I don't know that you're all that impressed, because it's kind of the same thing for me. That's a big number. Well, so that's one. It's huge. That's 21 zeros following the 10. So one chance in that of one person fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies, and we have over 300 in the Old Testament that point us to what Jesus was going to be up to as the Messiah, that we know indeed through the Gospels, he actually did that. And so all of that to say that God is pretty excited about coming to us when the time was just right. And he was so excited about coming to us, he had been dropping clues for hundreds of years about what it would be like when he did come to us. And so it's important for us during the season of Advent to look back, not only in what God did as he came to us in Jesus, but in the way that God had been trying to prepare people for centuries for what he would be up to as the Messiah. And so as we look back to how Jesus lives into us in coming to us the first time, I think it allows us an opportunity to open our hearts as we wait for Jesus to come back to us again the second time. As Jesus begins his public ministry here in Luke's gospel in chapter 4, we're told that people are responding to his teaching in some powerful ways, but I believe what Jesus is gifting them and us with here as he stands up in that synagogue to share the scripture on that day is that he isn't here to just teach, that those who just hold to Jesus Christ as a powerful teacher are missing so much of what God is actually trying to be up to as he comes to us. And so as the growing Christ child reads scripture that day in the synagogue where he had grown up and spent his life for so many years up to that point, he declares for himself that he is the one that they had been waiting for. In Jesus, the Lord's anointed, from what he holds up for us in Isaiah's prophecy, we know that there is good news for the poor. He tells us that in him, the blind would be given sight. In Jesus, the prisoners and the oppressed would be freed. In Jesus, God is showing us the favor of the Lord. There are many reasons that this time of year does something deep within the hearts of humans. But could it be that these promises that we see here are the ones that our hearts yearn for? And in some of the joy that we feel this time of year in memories and in spending time with family and friends and of all the ways the different symbols remind us of something important and what that does to our heart. Could it be in the things that we can see that God is looking to help remind us of the ways that he is working in what is unseen? And so in having God provide for our poverty, being freed where we were once bound or pushed under, we are reminded once again during this season that we can indeed celebrate the favor of God. Yet we also know in our own lives and for others that this time of year can magnify some of those deep hurtings or empty places that we find in our hearts. And many struggle for all of this season. In most, at least, find some nagging moment here and there of longing, of grief, or regret. Many of us here today find ourselves somewhere in the midst of those struggles. Sure, the good news of a Savior who is born in Bethlehem is for all of creation. But how might that be for us in the midst of the struggle that can be these lives that we lead each and every day? How can we know the freedom that Jesus promises here when there seems to be so much that wants to hold us back from walking in God's fullness? One of the themes that often comes up during Advent that we've already held up during our time of prayer today is referred to as the already, not yet nature of God's kingdom. Already, not yet. Jesus has already come. And there are so many ways that the world in our lives as individuals have been shaped powerfully by the work of the Spirit. How hard do you really need to think to come up with just one way that God has blessed and changed your life in some amazing way, some way that without Jesus you know that your life would be drastically different? I don't think it takes much meditation or reflecting to be able to come up with one significant way that God has worked in your life. And as we step back and look at that sort of impact over the lives of people's hearts for 2,000 years, and the change that Jesus' followers have made in this world, as much as we still see evidence of brokenness, I don't think we can begin to imagine how this world would be different if it weren't for those who let God work in their hearts. God's kingdom is already here. There's the already, but there's also the not yet. We also know the many, many ways that we live in a world that is still wrecked by sin. We know that in our own hearts, we are still from the ideal of holiness and perfection in Christ that God calls us to. And even though our Messiah has come and won the victory for us, there are many ways in which our spiritual and our physical realities that we still live in to the situations that Jesus talks about. We still find ourselves poor. We are still blind. We still find ourselves oppressed. We still find ourselves in prisons of our own making or ones that others have inflicted upon us. Even within the glory of all that is promised, of all that we are capable in Christ of, there are ways in which His promise is still not yet realized. And while all of these ways that we see in this world that we are not yet experiencing all of the depth of God's love and promise, as we look to Jesus, during the season of Advent, we are reminded to have tremendous hope. Even when all else might invite us to see anything but hope in the news and in the world that we see, or in the depths of our own hearts or the lives that are close to us, we hear Jesus' promise. And in the not yet, we can have hope because we know He indeed is coming again. And not only will Jesus come again and change everything forever, but may we be encouraged and not discouraged as we see the not yet in this world and in our lives. It can be far too easy to hear Jesus declare these amazing things about what He wants to be up to in this world and be discouraged because they are not yet fully true in our lives and for those that we care about. But do you know? Do you have hope that isn't just that God will work in the future to make all of these things right, but that God cared enough to come to this world to deliver us this message? That God cared enough in the people that wrote for us the Old Testament to give the hints and the clues and the promises about what Jesus would be up to when He did come to us. In all of that, there is hope that says God cares deeply for us. And that it is not God's will or desire for us or those in this world to live in poverty or to be impoverished or to be oppressed. Can't we see that God cares for us? And that each time our heart aches in the not yet, it is an invitation for us to welcome the Christ child more deeply into our hearts. That for Jesus to say that this is about the work in what He hopes to be up to, the things that He wants to be true for this world and for our lives, that there is hope in knowing that God cares for us and for this world. We do indeed have God's favor, as these words promise. And there indeed is good news for us as Jesus holds up not just in Isaiah, is what He says is some 2,600 years old now, or in the way that Jesus lived it 2,000 years ago, but as Scripture proclaims, if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus cares. God isn't only paying attention and loving us in the ways that we have already lived into what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how we already have that figured out. He is with us deeply in the ways that we are not yet living as His follower. The freedom that He brings isn't to not care about the ways that we aren't perfect yet because we are forgiven anyways. But the freedom that Jesus intends to extend to us is a freedom that says that he wants to reach to those places in our lives in this world that still need healing. And that we have the freedom to not be afraid of our brokenness or our sin, but that we can invite Christ to be near us even there. How often is it that the places where our personal brokenness and or sin bump into the brokenness and or sin of somebody else, and it causes us to lose hope about the power of Jesus to change things in the world or to change things in our own lives? But what if we took seriously the promise of freedom that Jesus gives here? And it isn't just another way for us to say, well, God's just not yet done here in this world, in the way for us to experience that. But what if in our brokenness and in our sin, we might see that as an invitation to experience hope about what God is up to? The fact that we would care about being broken or hurt, knowing God's love there, can be a place of invitation for us to invite Christ to be near to us. So how does that look? How can even the areas of our lives where we find ourselves hurt and broken as we crash up against other people's hurt and brokenness, how might that push us closer to the Christ child? May we find hope in this reminder that Jesus didn't just come for us in the ways that the world had already figured it out, what it meant to be in peace and to follow after him. We recognize and hold up the promise this time of year that Jesus came and intended to bring peace on earth, and we look around and we know that that is rarely the reality, and so much of the lack of peace and the war and the fighting that we see, we see evidence of the not yet. But again, may those things that may seem to push God's kingdom further out and further away not be what causes us discouragement, but may it cause us hope in the ways that we experience the realities of the not yet, because they can indeed and should be for each of us invitations to seek Jesus for what he promises in these verses, that he will indeed give us sight in the ways that we cannot see, that he indeed will give us hope in the places where we find ourselves discouraged and hopeless, that indeed he promises freedom in the very things that keep us oppressed or in prison. Advent reminds us that the waiting for the not yet is not just something we sit back and hope that one day God may fix. But in this waiting, we can actively invite the Holy Spirit more deeply into our hearts as we wait for Jesus' return. The not yets can be places for us to experience God's grace as we live our lives in Christ. Every promise that has not happened, Scripture tells us, is yes in Jesus. So let this season of Advent be a time for us to rejoice in the already places where we know Jesus is and is continuing to work. And let them also be for us in the not yets, places for us to experience more of God's grace as we look to grow into his love and experience the good news that is all around us. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we live in a world that is full of tension. Not just tension because of the lack of peace, but even as your followers, we experience the tension of what we've seen you promise, of what we've seen you do, and Lord, we want more of it. So, Lord, let our not yets come before you in an active way. not just in a future hope of how you will fix everything when you return once again, but for the way in which you desire to walk with us, as you have promised in this scripture this morning, the ways that you meet us and are not yet here. So, Lord, if we need sight, let that be ours. Lord, if we need your promise renewed in our hearts on this day, let us hear that. If we need freedom from that which is holding us back, or prisons in which we find ourselves in, may we know your grace here in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.